It's a terrible football show, all right?
I want whatever you guys are smoking right now.
Come on, Shane. You. OH!
Damn.
OH!
Ow, baby, go. Yeah!
Shane, I swear to God.
Welcome to a terrible football show.
That's my quarterback and my teammate, man.
Ruins my fucking holiday every damn year.
Alex.
What up?
You could thoroughly kiss my ass.
Why not let us decide the top four?
Yeah, let a terrible football show.
Let a terrible football
show. Decide the top four. Show.
Fuck you, Shane.
Roll Tide. Have a good one, guys.
Yeah, you gotta go. Get him out of here. Get him out of here.
Y'all like that Baker Mayfield to myself, man. He was baking up there in the Browns, and it just turned into a big old shit pile. So...
Get that right. I will fly you out and take you to a game in Dallas of your fucking choice.
Ooh. Oh, shit. Yeah, he's successful at just giving his terrible opinions, so why can't I? It's a terrible football show, after all. Welcome to a terrible football show, episode 98. I'm Alex Lott, Sparky 3. Hope you're having a phenomenal day today, whatever day you're watching or listening to this terrible show. We got Shane in studio. Let's go. We got Ricky over Discord. Boys, how we doing? How we feeling?
Pretty good. Glad to be back in studio. I miss this place.
It misses you.
I miss this place a lot.
Yep. 1 month away till the draft, and I'll be in the studio with y'all. I cannot wait. I'm ready. I am pumped. Let's go.
It's going to be exciting. We got some fun things lined up for the draft. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. We also have a new overlay that's still in the works. Still have not updated the intro video, though. That will get updated at some point. All right, I am working on it, okay? I have been busy as heck. But it's a step-by-step process. Look, by the time the season rolls around, everything should be transitioned over. You know what I mean? Everything should be good by then. You know, stuff in the merch stores should be good to go. It's fine.
Look, if you need some workload off, look, I've become a DaVinci Resolve 18.6 connoisseur.
I love DaVinci Resolve too. I'm glad that's your preference. DaVinci Resolve is awesome. Was I the one that told you to check it out? Okay. I love DaVinci Resolve.
Well,
so
you were one of like 15 people to tell me. They're like, whatever you do, go DaVinci Resolve. Yes. It's free.
Yes.
Stay away from Adobe Premiere.
Premiere is great, but DaVinci Resolve, baby, it's something
else. It's so good, man.
I love it.
So good.
But now today's episode, we've got some draft talk with J.J. McCarthy. Has now risen up the ranks and now projected to go second overall. NFL rule changes took place. Ricky's got a little presentation that I forgot to get a slide set up for it. I can do that probably while we're going, hopefully. But Ricky's got a little presentation for us involving a 64-team college football bracket. So shout out to that. And that's basically about the extent of the show this week. We will be on a break next week. We'll be back on the 9th. And then episode 100 will take place on the 16th, the week before the draft, which we'll have a fun little mock challenge for that day. So it's going to be a great time on that. Make sure to subscribe and follow the podcast wherever you're listening or watching the show, and we'd appreciate that support. We'll make sure to shout out our sponsors later on in the show and not forget until the last 15 seconds.
Yeah, I'll say, let's not forget the ad breaks this
time. It's on the sidebar.
Okay.
So, like, that's basically our
There's
script.
Literally no way you can forget this
There's
week.
No way I can forget. Okay. You know, that sidebar is going to come in so much handy.
So, I mean, let's be honest. That's how we get paid here.
Yeah, exactly. Is the sponsors. You know,
you gotta
buy
get paid
some
by
road,
ad, man.
Buy some agenting stuff. So, I've got the sponsors on the sidebar. So, that's great. I'll hopefully never forget. You know, we're going to have the sidebar always ready to go. I had to throw a couple things in there, like BS and closeout. Because, like, this is a shorter show. I'm on grill duty here in a bit, so we're going to try to keep it to an hour so I can go do some grilling, you know, get my white New Balances on, my jean shorts, and my white knee-high socks, and get out there and get to work.
You have a Hawaiian shirt, too?
I do, actually.
Bet.
Yeah. I've got a grass starter Hawaiian shirt from Pokemon, so I'll be really rocking the dad fit. It'll be great. But let's jump into things, boys. Let's have a great time. Let's have a great show. All right. So first up, let's talk about the J.J. McCarthy thing. I wanted to chat about this because, man, it is. First off, Jim Harbaugh is playing
smokescreen.
Big Boom. Big brain plays.
Big brain plays.
First, I want to stress this. Okay, that's his college coach. All right, it's natural for him to you know, to hype up his guys, right? That's very understandable. But it's a smokescreen.
Okay? For sure.
He's playing big brain plays because he's like, I'm sitting there at five. If I can play these big brain plays and hype him up and bait up other teams to jump up and you have four quarterbacks on the top four, Marvin Harrison Jr., future Charger.
Yeah, he is either baiting the fuck out of Minnesota or
Denver
to jump in front of him and be like, hey, y'all got played.
Yeah, yep. No, it's been interesting because, like, you know, now, like, I saw his draft odds went from, like, plus 2,500 to be second overall to now, like, plus 500 to be second overall, which means is Washington going to take him or is Washington going to trade back? Like, imagine if Washington takes J.J. McCarthy. You know what I mean?
From what I've heard, they did some extensive stuff to into J.J., but they're still top two picks is either Jaden or Drake. And from what I've seen, it's Jaden right now.
I still think it's Jaden personally. Like I think the JJ thing's just a big smokescreen. Like I said it when we did our mocks that I think JJ going in the first, I think is a massive reach. I really do. I think all the conversation that like JJ, Bo, and Michael are all going to go in the first, I think that's a massive smokescreen. I think that's a massive crockpot full of shit. I think it's the same thing as the Kenny Pickett draft, where it's like Malik Willis is going to go like third overall to the Lions. We're going to see Matt Corral go in the top 10. Desmond Ridder go in, you know, whatever. I think it's a load of crap. I'm not buying into it. I buy into three guys going in the first. But now I've bought into JJ going in the first, but not because of, like, I think he's a first-round talent, just because I think you're going to see desperation. I think desperation is going to come into play massively, but I did not think desperation would come into play where someone's going to try to jump into the top four. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know, you trying to jump into the top four, who are you trying to jump? Do you think New York is going to potentially
jump
at six?
I think there's three teams. There's three teams that could potentially jump up. That I've been seeing a lot of gas from, I guess you could say. There's some smoke there, and usually, when there's smoke, there's usually fire, right?
True.
So Minnesota and Denver, like we spoke, and then New York Giants at six. Those are the three teams that I've seen smoke from that could potentially jump into that number four spot to take a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I kind of believe it. I mean, Denver is kind of on the backside. I think they might want to really badly, but the thing is with Denver, I don't think they have the assets to do so. Minnesota does, but honestly, guys, can I leak something?
Leak it.
Okay. I know y'all are a mock ahead of me, right? Y'all have y'all's 2.0s. I just recently came out with my 1.0 on the show. So I'm going to kind of leak some stuff. I'm going to call it my 1.5. Okay. I'm just going to cover the quarterbacks right now. This is what I seen like three people talk about this. Now, given three people and the experts of the NFL, not really a lot, but honestly, it makes sense. So, one, I think the Giants or Minnesota are going to be the ones to get that spot. My opinion, I think the Giants, because I think Minnesota has something else cooking on the back burner, okay? And I think what's going to happen is Giants will get the fourth spot. The Chargers will stay at the five. But I think in the back half of the draft, you're going to see two teams trade in the 18 spot and the 23 spot.
Mm.
The Bengals are going to trade with either Buccaneers or Dallas, because they're going to trade T. Higgins to one of those two teams. Then they're going to take a receiver, most likely Brian Thomas Sr. or Jr., from what I've seen. And then you're going to see a trade between the Minnesota Vikings and the Miami Dolphins. Tua will go to Minnesota. Miami Dolphins will draft Michael Penix Jr.
No
with,
way.
With the 20, I think it's like the 24th, 22nd pick, something like that.
No way.
I'll give you this logic. This is the only reason why it makes sense to me. You watched tape on Tua last year. Now, given I've already admitted on the show, I did not watch a lot of football this past year. But I went back and watched the 2022 and 2023 highlights from last year of Miami. Tua struggled throwing the ball downfield heavily. There's plenty of throws, not only to Tyreek, but to Jaylen Waddle that was behind him to where they had to make a maneuver in order to catch the ball. I think we all can agree that Tua, for some reason, cannot force the ball downfield like he should be able to, like we've seen in college. Guess what Michael Penix is excellent at? Throwing the ball downfield.
Man, if the Dolphins moved on from Tua, and I'm not saying because I think Tua is like a top three superstar, but he's a good quarterback.
But you know,
if they moved on from Tua, you know, from Michael Penix, I would be blown away.
And I mean, also, I mean, you got to think he's got what, 2 years left on his contract?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So,
I mean, he was same draft as Joe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then yeah, he's due up because Justin and Joe have already signed.
Okay, so he's got a year left on his contract, then.
Yeah.
Or he's probably got a year and then a player option.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, are you really going to want to give him your $40, $45, $50 million a year? I don't think Tua is that type of quarterback.
Mm.
So, just like Chicago, get a reset.
Yeah, reset the quarterback.
And you cannot tell me you put Tua in Minnesota right now, how much better he would be. Because Minnesota is not a throw deep down the ball kind of offense, from what I've seen. I mean, yeah, they take their shots, but most of it's off play action.
Mm-hmm.
I think that fits to the T. He's basically what Russell Wilson was in his prime, but a little bit more touched up at this point in his career.
Yeah.
And I think Tua in Minnesota with that offense would do way better than what he's doing in Miami just because of the type of offense that Miami's running right now.
So I don't disagree from the Tua Minnesota standpoint. Makes sense to me. Ricky may agree to that too. I just can't get behind the Michael Penix to, you know, being the replacement. That's where I'm like, I can't see that one.
Well, the only reason why I say Michael Penix is because watching the little bit of stuff I have from Michael Penix, he can do everything that you want to do inside the pocket. He can make reads. He can throw it accurately, very accurately, between 10 and 20 yards. And where he succeeds the most is getting out of the pocket, extending the play, and throwing the ball downfield. And not only throwing the ball downfield, but please, I'm sure you can count on one hand how many times those receivers in Washington had to readjust and come back to the ball last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think every single piece of tape that I've seen, it's every single time it's in stride, and they're gone. And I think that's what kind of what – I mean, if you have Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, and those kind of receivers, that's what you need.
Yeah, I mean, you do need an arm, and Tua has an okay arm at best. But I just can't see Michael Penix being the guy in the first round.
Another thing is like, if what you say is true, right, you're going to have four quarterbacks on in the first five picks, and if that's the case, Denver's going to take one at 12. Denver's going to take Bo Nix or Penix at 12. Yeah,
someone's going to probably potentially reach.
I mean, if there's four gone in the first five picks, there's someone in that 10 to 18 range, 17 range is going to take a quarterback, and most likely it's going to be Denver.
Yeah.
So then who are you going to have left? I think Denver likes Bo Nix better right now at 12. Are you going to take Jordan Travis at 22? I mean, I don't think so. You take Michael Penix.
With that amount of logic.
In the first round.
Do what, Ricky?
I don't think Michael Penix goes in the first round.
I don't think so. But
I don't think Miami gets a quarterback. I think if Miami's going to get a quarterback, they're going to wait till the fourth, fifth, sixth round where they can pick up Tua's little brother to hold him up, just kind of like how we used to have in Arkansas back in the day, Shane. So that would be
that
it.
That is true.
I mean,
here's the thing, Shane. What you're saying does make a little bit of sense, but here's why I'm going to disagree with
you. I think it makes a lot of sense.
I don't know if Shane, because here's the thing. If you're going to give up on Tua now, I think you need to wait till next year. I don't know if you've seen the quarterback class coming out next year, but it's much deeper than this year's quarterback. Much, much deeper than this year's quarterback class.
It is.
And so I don't think you give up on Tua. I'm just saying in this regard.
But the thing is,
if you're going to give up on Tua, You do it next year. You don't do it right now with the 2 years left on his contract. You don't trade with Minnesota because what are you going to get for him with Minnesota? A couple of picks? You're not going to get a first-round pick for him. There's no way you're going to get a first-round pick for him.
Oh, you would.
They're not going to be able to. No, you wouldn't.
Yeah,
not with
you
him.
Would. 100%.
Maybe a second or third round.
No, nah, you'd get a first.
I don't think so.
You'd get a first.
I don't think so.
Because Minnesota's got two firsts to burn.
He's not that great of a quarterback, Alex. I don't think he
would.
I don't think they would get a first.
I mean, I think if they make that trade, you're going to see a first-round swap of this year. So I think Miami has. Can somebody look up what pick they have just so I'm accurate? But I'm pretty sure they
Miami?
Have. Yeah, I
like
think
21.
I think they have like 21 or 22. You're going to see a pick swap because Minnesota's at 23. You're going to see a pick swap of this year. You could very well see a 2025 or 2026 first round pick again on the back half because I'm pretty sure Minnesota has two more picks either next year or the year after. Then you could probably see a third and a sixth and a conditional player, right? I think it's going to be enough that it could work because, for one, Minnesota sitting at 11, what they're sitting at 11, they're 11 and 23. Mm-hmm. They need a quarterback. Look who they have on the roster right
Sam
now.
Sam Darnold
and I don't even remember the other guy's name.
I think it's just Sam Darnold.
Like, they need a quarterback. If they don't have a quarterback with that offense, they're a sub 500 team. You get to
a 500 team right now.
You get a quarterback in there like Tua. I'm sorry. You're winning the division. I'm sorry. You are, in my opinion.
I'm winning the no, you're not.
Yes, you are. With that deep
no, you are not.
With,
they're not even
with
be better
that,
than the Green
with,
Bay
you will compete for the division. I think getting past the Lions will be tough.
Okay, you'll compete for the division. That's fair. That's fair because yep. I forgot about the Lions. But you or the Lions will win that division.
You're not even going to compete with the Packers with Tua.
Yeah, you would. I think you would. You get Kevin O'Connell with Tua, with Justin Jefferson and stuff. Jordan Addison played really well. You got Dalvin Cook now. You know, you get some defensive pieces going. I think you would compete with Tua.
I don't think so.
And I also think you would get a first round.
And plus
pick
the
for
thing
him.
Is,
I mean, if Minnesota's willing to trade up for JJ McCarthy, why
they're
clearly
not,
desperate
they're
enough.
Gonna, they're not going to. They're
and
not
the,
going to win the division.
And
though.
The thing is, they still have their 11 pick. They still have the number 11.
Okay, so here's my thing. All right, then why get rid of Cousins?
Because Cousins.
Why not bring him back?
That was a Cousins choice.
Yeah, that was Cousins choice. That wasn't a Minnesota choice. That was a Kirk Cousins choice.
But they could have offered him a new contract, and they chose not to. Why would why
exactly?
Not?
But why would you pay Why would you pay a 32-year-old quarterback?
No, I think he's like 35, isn't he?
Because before he was injured, he was rated one of the top five quarterbacks
in
the NFL.
I agree. Me and Alex here has been a Kirk Cousins stan when everybody was dogging on him. You don't have to tell me how good Kirk Cousins is. But then again, logically, why would you pay a 35? What Alex said, I don't think he's 35. But if he is 35, that makes it my case even better. Why would you pay a 35-year-old quarterback the money that Atlanta paid him?
Yeah, he's 35.
And why would you pay a quarterback who's had nothing but health problems since he's been in the NFL? I'm telling you, it doesn't make any sense.
Exactly, and you're helping my case again. Why Miami take that chance right now when Miami's probably one of the best teams in contention right now?
Last 2 years.
Why would they have to pay? Because I'm pretty sure Tua's on in the last 2 years of his contract. Why risk it right now? Especially if they're wanting to reach for J.J. McCarthy?
I doubt they're going to reach for J.J. McCarthy. I don't think so.
I think in that trade, both teams win long term.
I don't see that happening, Shane. I just don't see that happening. I don't see them getting rid of Tua. I don't see Miami getting rid of Tua. I just don't.
Because I'm going to be honest. If Miami doesn't go to the AFC Championship in the next 3 years, Tyreek's gone. He's out of there. He's either retiring or he's going somewhere else.
He's
going to
retire. He's already said that.
I don't, yeah.
So, I mean, your window's closing. Because whenever you lose Tyreek, you lose a lot of your offense.
Yeah, Jalen. He ain't Tyreek, but he's still damn good.
Oh, for sure. But you're going to find another receiver that's putting up the – I'm not going to say put up the numbers, but pick up the workload that Tyreek is. Mm-hmm. It's hard to replace.
Ricky, who do you not think is going to reach for JJ? Do you don't think Minnesota is?
No. I don't have to.
See, that's my mindset, is I don't think they have to. I think they, if they really, I mean, I think JJ in the first is a reach alone, but I think they can get JJ at 11. I don't think they need to go up to 4, personally.
And here's the thing, of course, I know you guys read over my draft and everything like that last week and everything like that, but to me, they don't even have to draft a quarterback at 11. Bo Nix is still going to be there at 23. Why not wait till 23 to get a quarterback? No one between 11 and 23 is going to get a quarterback.
I'm going to be real. The more I look into Denver, either JJ or Bo will be gone at 12.
Let me see here. What is Denver's second round? Let me look what their second round is looking like right now as far as...
I don't even know if they have a second round.
You could be right.
They might not.
I don't think they do have a second round.
You could be right. Let me double check that and see.
Yeah, actually, I know 100% sure they don't have a second round because that's why they have to nail this first round pick. That's why I think they're going to go quarterback.
Let's see. The Broncos right. next pick right is third round pick 76.
Yeah, so they don't have a second round pick. I think Denver takes a quarterback at 12. And they don't have the assets to move up. So they either trade back or they draft a quarterback. And by logic, if the Giants don't trade up, which I think is a very high possibility as well, I think if let's say the Giants do trade up and draft a quarterback like JJ, then Michael Penix or Bo Nix is going to be sitting there at 12 because I don't think any other quarterback. Now, I don't think Michael Penix or Bo Nix should go in the first round, but out of the quarterbacks that they have now and what's on the board, you either have you either go with what you have or you draft Bo Nix or Michael Penix.
So we're possibly looking at 5 quarterbacks in the first 12 picks, which is likely the way it sounds.
And it's all and there's going to be reaches. I think there's going
to
be reaches.
It all comes down to the number 4 pick.
It does.
I'm going to be honest. It all comes down to the 4th pick. If Arizona stays at 4 and drafts Marvin Harrison, then I don't think I don't think these trades fall, and I don't think these quarterbacks get taken. But if a team reaches and trades into that number 4 spot and drafts a quarterback, whether it's JJ, whether it's Bo Nix, whether it's whoever the fuck, shit will start happening. Because at that point, you're going to have two teams, Minnesota and Denver, that are desperate at that point.
I'm still hoping Chicago trades up for that 4 and gets Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm telling y'all right now.
Me too.
Passing up on Marvin Harrison Jr. Is going to be one of the biggest mistakes that they will ever make in their entire life. I mean, I don't understand the hype on Caleb Williams as it is. I think he's a bust. I hope I'm wrong. You know, I always hope for the best with everybody, but I think you could still get a decent quarterback. Even at 9, you could still get a decent quarterback. I don't think they need Caleb Williams. That's just me. But if let's go ahead and assume they're drafting Caleb Williams, we're just going to go ahead and say it. I think they need to trade up for that 4th pick. They have the assets to do it. They have the cash flow. They have the picks. They have assets.
I think there's only one team.
Get that 4th pick.
I think there's only one team that has more assets and money than Chicago right now.
See, a lot of our assets, though, for Arizona is that we'd have to give them a lot of assets out of next year because the Bears have traded so many draft capital from this year. We only have 4 picks this year. But we have like 12 next year.
But I think what it come down to is y'all will trade next year's assets and then swap 9 and 4.
I would love to walk away from draft night with Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr., but I think they're going to stay at 9, personally. Yeah.
And worst case scenario, if Marvin goes
3.0, that's what I'm going for.
And
I pray they get Marvin Harrison, man.
And
I may become a Chicago Bears fan if they
And
do
worst
that.
Case scenario, New England Patriots have been heavy in the receiver market.
Yeah.
If Marvin goes to New England, Brock Bowers at 4, like either way, it's a win-win.
No, dude. If Marvin Harrison went to the Patriots at three, oh, buddy, the whole draft would just shake.
I mean, it's a possibility. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think it's a possibility, too.
But, I mean, it's a possibility.
Just like I acknowledge the possibility that JJ is going to go in the top five.
Because New England, by the reports I've seen, they've reached out to the Bengals about T. Higgins. They've reached out to Vikings about Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Patriots
are desperate for a receiver.
So, I mean, it's very possible you could see New England take Marvin at three. And if that happens, then you're really going to see quarterbacks fall.
Oh, yeah.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Jane. Would this make more sense? If Minnesota is looking to get a quarterback at three, you give them Justin Jefferson at that third pick and possibly draft a quarterback there. And no. Then let's say let's just say for shits and giggles they do. Let's say you don't have to give up that 11th pick. You still can get a decent receiver at number 11.
I mean, I agree, but you're
like either way, they're not competing for the division.
But
next year.
But
it's not happening.
But you were talking about the whole Tua thing being a chance. I think Tua is less of a risk of a trade than the Justin Jefferson trade because I think Justin Jefferson's the top five, top three receiver right now. Yes, you're going to have to pay him.
No, he's the best. He is the best receiver in football
Next to Tyreek Hill.
I
just said that because I mean it's argumentative, right? I don't want to say right. He is the best because it's very argumentative with everything that comes with. Oh, he's the best. No, he's the best. Like I don't want to get into that. So that's why I just give a broad. He's a top five,
okay.
Top three receiver.
That's fair.
Okay. So in my opinion, yes, he is the best. But again, it's argumentative. I think that trade is much more risky than keeping Justin and getting Tua in there, in my opinion.
Even
unless
bad history of concussion.
The only reason why it wouldn't be a risk is if you can guarantee a receiver at 11 that's going to put up Marvin Harrison type numbers. So you're talking about a Brian Thomas, a Romeo Dunze,
Malik.
Somebody like that, yeah. Somebody like that that's going to be guaranteed to put up numbers because if not, you're losing arguably the best receiver in the league right now, which is a much, much farther fall off from a chance that a receiver is going to do something in the draft rather than you trading away a couple of picks to get Tua, which, yes, even if he does have some injuries, then you're not technically losing anything at the moment because who else are you going to start with right now anyways? If you don't draft a quarterback in the first three rounds, right, then you're technically not drafting what would be a starter, right? So therefore, you're back with what you have right now, which is Sam Darnold. So therefore, I don't know if I'm portraying what I'm trying to say properly, but yeah.
I pick up what you're putting down.
Like, basically bringing in Tua, even though they're going to be losing future stuff, right? They may lose a player.
Mm-hmm.
They may lose draft picks for the future. But as of right now, as far as the roster, Tua raises that roster, right? Even with the injury risk, he raises that roster as far as skill and talent.
You're really trying to manifest this.
I know.
You're trying so hard.
Just in my brain, it just makes so much sense.
JJ's going to be a Viking, baby. I'm calling it.
Here is why I'm going to Okay, so I've already stated one case, but I will completely disagree with you just based on this. Who in the AFC East is going to be any good next year besides the Miami Dolphins?
The Bills are falling out.
Patriots have fallen out. I'm not buying the Patriots yet because I haven't seen Aaron Rodgers on the field.
In the AFC in total, I mean the Bills have nuked their team.
So, oh my God, I know.
So yeah. the Bills aren't in the conversation. You have Miami in the conversation. You have Cincinnati in the conversation, and then the Chiefs. Please let me know if I'm missing a team because, in my opinion, the AFC is those three teams or it's nothing.
Here's the thing. I don't think they're going to get rid of Tua just because next year could be the best chance that they're going to have for a while.
I mean, I agree, like I said, but then but
Joe Burrow, when Joe Burrow comes back, if Joe Burrow comes back 100% healthy, look out for Cincinnati. With or without T. Higgins, look out for look
I mean,
out for Cincinnati.
I agree because I think Cincinnati takes a receiver at 18. Regardless if they have T. Higgins or not, I think Cincinnati's taking a receiver at 18. Or if not, if they do trade away T. Higgins, I think they're going to have the 18 pick and most likely anywhere between 24 and 27 again. So they'll take a receiver there as well. Or if not there, like they'll take an offensive lineman or something at 18. They'll trade T. Higgins away, get anywhere between 24 and 27, draft a receiver like Brian Thomas there. And then guess what? You have exactly the same type of prototype receiver in Brian Thomas that T. Higgins was. And if not, something a little bit better because Brian Thomas, 6'3", 217, he's a big guy. And he's not going to drop balls. I think Brian Thomas in that Cincinnati offense automatically helps them, even if they have T. Higgins.
I'd say one trade spot for T. Higgins to watch for. And I think they just traded for a receiver, but I just see it from a capital standpoint is Carolina, and Carolina trades their first pick of the second round.
Yeah, I had three teams, Carolina, Buccaneers, Cowboys, and there's another team between 25 and 27.
But Patriots make sense too because if you're the Patriots, you can trade away that second round pick 34. You can trade away that one, and you can also trade around a later round pick too.
But I mean, going back to the whole AFC thing, I mean, Joe Burrow comes back 100%. Like, Joe Burrow comes back 100%. Is that Miami roster right now with Tua going to compete with the likes of Kansas City and Cincinnati?
Yes.
With Tua,
you will have a better chance with Tua. I'm not saying that he's the best. What I'm saying is you will have a better chance now with Tua than you will a rookie quarterback.
Now, I think we can all agree on this, right? Rookie quarterbacks coming into the league is all about the right system, the right personnel, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ricky, can you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think Michael Penix fits in Miami.
Okay. I mean, I'll disagree with that, but that's fair. But, I mean, everybody on draft night is drafting for upside, right? Drafting on upside. So if you're drafting on upside, you get additional stuff for trading away Tua because I think you're going to get a ton for trading away Tua. A ton. Now, you're not going to get, the most that we've ever seen, but you're going to get a lot for Tua. And the potential of the upside of Michael Penix in that offense with that personnel, you can't tell me that it's not at least intriguing. Arguably people were saying before the national championship game that Michael Penix was the number two guy behind Caleb. And I think we are arguably all year, we were saying that it was Jordan Travis or Michael Penix for the Heisman, at least in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where this kind of thought came across, where this giant fall off for Michael Penix. Because in my opinion, the offense that Miami runs is everything that Michael Penix does great.
I think they're just looking at age and previous injury history. Because before Washington, like, he had a lot of injury history. So I think that's what's holding him back, is they're just looking at that. I think wherever Michael Penix goes in a later round, they're getting a steal.
No, for sure.
That's my opinion. We should probably also keep steering this ship forward and hop over some other stuff. I did see something that apparently Patriots are having a very lengthy meeting with Jaden Daniels, and they love Jaden Daniels. And apparently, another report I just saw is that Washington's a big Drake May fan. Apparently, Dan Quinn sees him as a young Matt Ryan. So, shit's going to get interesting over these next few weeks.
Yeah, I knew Commanders were, like I said earlier, their top two guys were Jaden Daniels and Drake May.
Yeah. Also, breaking news, Tre'Davious White is signing a one-year deal with the Rams. Good signing. Good signing. But now let's keep steering the ship forward. So the next thing that we had is all of the rule changes. You guys had any strong thoughts on that, like the kickoff stuff? We also had NFL trade line deadline bumped back a week. You know, they're implementing the XFL kickoff rules. Hip drop tackle is banned. You know, any thoughts on everything going on right now?
So I'm 50-50 on the kickoff. I get it, player safety. I like actually the fourth and 15 or fourth and 20 idea a little bit better, in my opinion. But then again, I guess it just this also still has some tradition to it because you're still actually kicking the ball off.
Yeah.
So that's why I said I'm 50-50 on it. Give me like 3 or 4 weeks during the season to give my actual thoughts on that. Hip drop rule, I like it because a lot of injuries happen that way. But on the flip side, like, I just hate how defensive players are being hindered. Like so basically you're basically telling the defensive players, like, if they outrun you, you can't reach out and grab their hips and bring them down. That's basically it. So basically if you have somebody like Tyreek or just one of these players that can just blow by you or manhandle you, you basically just have to give up.
Yeah.
Or just sit there and bear hug them until you can get a group tackle in, because I mean, you can look at a lot of especially Derrick Henry on a lot of his runs on the outside, most of his if he does get tackled, they're momentum tackles from the hip. They're hip drop tackles.
Yeah.
So
I think it's going to get a lot more challenging. I think we're going to see a lot more plays break off this year. And we as fans are going to bitch about it. It's just like, why didn't you tackle him? Well, he can't.
And another thing is, like, hip drop tackles are another thing that's, like, we've had controversy over the targeting because, did he hit with the crown? Did he lunge?
Right, it's back and forth.
I think that's even worse with the hip drop.
Ricky, what about you as a referee?
I think the hip drop tackle is stupid. I think it's the dumbest rule they've ever come up with in their entire lives. And I'm saying this because of the fact is that now it's already dangerous to play defense as it is, because there's so much that protects the offense now. It's almost like they're taking defense totally out of the game. I understand the injuries. I understand that. But until somebody steps up for the defense, there's nobody that can explain to me fully why this rule should be implemented. I think it's a dumb rule. That's number one. Number two, I'm with Shane on the kickoff. I'm 50-50 on the kickoff.
Yes.
Yeah, one thing I hate is, especially when it's almost like some of the things they're starting to take away from some of the other sports, like Major League Baseball. You're starting to see a lot of things being taken away where offense is more of the prominent. Same with the NBA, where it's nothing but this high-scoring, boring nonsense. And if they would look at the NBA, their ratings are dropping right now, and there's a reason that they're dropping. It's because the product sucks. We can't get to the point where the product just completely sucks. So I'm okay. I guess I'm okay with the kickoff because, like Shay said, it's still a kickoff. One thing as a referee, though, and this is something that it's totally different when you're on the field versus when you're sitting in the stands. The guys, that first pop, you almost cringe every time you hear that first pop, a kickoff. And I am a huge fan of the kickoff for the simple fact is it is a big tradition for me. To me, that is the way I've always seen a football game start off, is a good kickoff. And it's going to be different. I don't know if I'm going to like it. But like I said, I'm also on that part. I know that first pop. That first pop is a huge safety issue. The hip drop, not as much of an issue. To me, that is a dumb rule. They should not have put that in place.
Yeah, I agree with you. The only thing I agree with hip drop, I agree that I understand the reasoning behind the rule, right, with the injuries. But on the backside, there's that one positive, right? You're getting rid of that kind of injury, which I'm all for, which is one thing. It's a big thing, don't get me wrong, but it's one thing. On the backside, there's so much more backlash, right? It negates the defense from being able to play defense, for mm-hmm. one. For two, it's going to be very hard to officiate because
yeah.
because what is the difference between a hip drop when a player actually grabs the hips, or he grabs their waist, or if he grabs their abdomen and does it? Like, is that all going to be counted as a hip drop, or is it only directly the hips? Like, there's so, like, targeting has become an issue. Pass interference has become an issue because it's so 50-50. Now you've thrown this thing in of the hip drop rule where it's even more controversial, in my opinion, than those two. I mean, overall, I don't like it. I understand it, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the trade deadline rule makes no difference with the trade deadline.
Yeah, that I mean, I think it's a good thing personally.
Yeah, yeah, that was the only rule change I 100% agree with is the trade deadline. I think they should have pushed it back another week because especially with most likely here in the next 2 years, it's probably going to go to 18 games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they should have been a little bit more proactive on that end. That's the only negative about that trade deadline rule, but that's probably the only one I'm 100% for.
Right, right. No, I mean, I understand wanting to make the game all safer. Totally support that. I just know it's going to make things a lot more difficult for the defense, and it's going to be like, okay, what do we got to do to, to still play good defense? You know what I mean? Because this is just an offense.
And again, and another negative on it is going to extend games even more because they're going to spend 20 minutes officiating. Oh, did he grab? Like,
yeah.
I wish I had the baseline of what they're going to be looking for, because if not, it's so iffy. Because like, is it directly grabbing the hips and turning them, or is it the lower abdomen as well? It, like,
mm-hmm.
is it going to be like, what if he grabs the thighs and turns them around? Is that going to be counted as a hip drop as well? Like,
right?
It's going to be so 50-50.
Worst comes to worst, just spear them.
Yeah, just hit him with the Roman Reigns spear. You know what? You know, acknowledge your tribal chief today.
Let's acknowledge top two spears of all time, Goldberg and Edge. Come on now.
Yeah,
Goldberg's a good spear.
Top two spears of all time, Edge and Goldberg.
All right. Ricky, you want to go over your 64 team college football bracket idea real quick?
Sure.
All right, let me
let's do this. I want your guys' feedback on this. I think this is a great idea.
I'm gonna do things as I go here. That's not what I want. We don't want that. Let's get rid of that. It's a terrible football show. Did not prep for this beforehand. So we're gonna do this. We're gonna do this as we go here. Okay. So look at that. Got it right on the money. Hot dog. So it should be on the screen. I'm gonna blow it up a little bit. Here we go. Look at that. All right, Ricky, what do we got going on here? What's happening?
Okay, so what I did is that I created a scenario as if the regular season would have ended in a particular fashion. So basically what I did was I took out the actual conference championship games themselves, because for this to work, you would have to not have a conference. You would not have to necessarily have a conference championship game due to based on some of the games. And of course, there'd be some tweaks on it and how the tiebreaker rules would work, things of that nature. And possibility, you'd probably have to do what the FCS already does, which is go to 11 games anyway. But that's neither here nor there. But what I did was I took I took whatever was left of the regular season games, and I blew this up. I did my best to keep the top four seeds from being in this exact same conference, so you avoid we try to do the best to avoid any conference matchups that we've already seen. The only one that was very, very hard to do was this 3-4 seed, which was Mizzou and LSU. That one was kind of tough to do, because when I look at the five seeds, I don't see anybody in that five seed spot that I would automatically say, oh, We could switch them with LSU and be okay with it. And to me, there's really nobody there. You have an argument for North Carolina State. You have an argument for Oregon State because the Pac-12 is so good. And yes, I did involve the Pac-12 in it, even though it's going to be completely gone after this year. But it just gives us a perspective of what this could possibly look like. It eliminates the 6-6 mediocrity bullcrap. I understand that the FCS schools, that a lot of these FCS schools are not necessarily super great at football. But at the same time, it also eliminates mediocrity from them as well, because you're getting some of the best FCS schools that are in the country, that it's going to give them a chance to prove themselves at a higher level. When you look at something like this, like in Region 2, you would have a North Carolina State go up against South Dakota. Who wouldn't want to see that? Who wouldn't want to see a program like South Dakota State go up against Notre Dame or someone like that, somewhere like that, that could actually like prove their program, prove their worth? Because if you look at the main perspective of things over the last few years, some of these bigger schools avoid these smaller schools that possibly have this, these great football programs, because they're afraid of losing that spot as far as in their as in their spot and everything like that goes. And so this right here was basically somewhat of an idea. I took a lot of this from the college football playoff ranking, and then some of the at-large bids. I went through each of the conferences. I went through some of the at-large bids. I looked at their strength of record. I looked at their strength of schedule. I took some of the head-to-heads. I took some of the other things into consideration on where they should be seated. Some of this can be switched back and forth. You could make an argument. Someone like James Madison at 7, you can make an argument that, you know, they could be moved up to 6. You can make an argument on Liberty, because Liberty's strength of record was so high, but their strength of schedule was so small. That's why I put them at 6.
That's fair.
But it gives them some kind of a chance to be able to prove, hey, we belong in talks with bigger schools. So what I did was I basically did what the NCAA tournament committee already does. The 12 seeds and below, I reserved strictly for the FCS programs. Now, here is the thing. The FCS has less conferences in football than what they do in basketball. Because in basketball, they're spread out a little bit more as far as conferences goes.
True.
And so what this was able to do was I was able to create not only the conference, because what I did was I did every single one of them. I had a conference champion for every single one of them. The only difference is I took their conference champion, and then the rest of the at-large bids I took from the FCS ranking. So if you see right here, I have two Southland Conference teams in here. Nicholls State technically won their conference because they went undefeated and they upset Incarnate Word. But if you look at the FCS rankings, Incarnate Word was still up there close enough. They were above Villanova. No, I think they were right below Villanova, actually, to where they could actually get an at-large bid. You look at some of these other schools like Florida A&M and the SWAC. The SWAC is usually a pretty weak conference, but in the FCS rankings, they were really high ranked up there. So therefore, they would get a higher seed. So that's what I did with a lot of these. Is I looked at the conference champion, I looked at their rankings, and I said, okay, this is where they belong. I put some of the higher rankings and some of the lower rankings of some of these regions. So like Florida State was undefeated at the time. They would have been, in my opinion, the lowest of the rankings when it came to number one seeds. So I put some of these higher, better teams of the FCS against this in this region. So like I said, it's one of those things that I worked on. It's definitely not perfect. There's definitely some room for error. But if you notice in this entire thing, with the exception of Nicholls, because Nicholls won their conference, they did go undefeated in their conference, there's no 6-6 teams. And yes, you do have some mediocrity in 7-5, but I'd rather have mediocrity in 7-5 than watch a couple of 6-6 teams go head to head on it. I'd rather watch something that's going to be good. You look at Boise State; the Mountain West was not very strong this year. You look at their strength of record. You look at their strength of schedule. You could argue UNLV could have gotten a bid, but with UNLV losing, that's the only downfall of this, is that UNLV beat Boise State in the regular season. UNLV would technically be right here, but I didn't notice that. Brad actually noticed it when I showed him this. But this is just something that you would divide up into regions, just like you do the regular NCAA tournament. And this is just something that would be different. I think if you were to do something like this, you would eliminate, like I said, you would eliminate the 6-6 bowls. And not only that, but I think you would eliminate those who are like, okay, I'm going to the NFL draft. I'm not gaining anything out of this. Well, now you are, because now you're actually going to be in a big, big playoff for a Division I title.
Okay. I can get behind this. I think there's going to be a lot of blowouts in a lot of years. There's also going to be that time where there's going to be that legendary upset that we're going to talk about for 25 years. And it's going to change everything.
I mean, you'll see a situation like the NCAA basketball tournament, right?
Yeah.
Where the 16 seed went 0-160 or whatever.
Right.
And then finally, after what I think it was like 75 years or more of the NCAA tournament, you finally get a 16 seed beating a 1 seed.
Right.
You know, you could see something like that. Now, honestly, in football, I don't think it would take that long for a 16 seed to beat a 1 seed. Because like what Ricky said, you're gonna have your North Dakota States, you're gonna have your South Dakota States, you're gonna have these upper class FCS schools going against these lower ones and two seeds and three seeds, where I think they could actually put up a fight.
Right.
Who wouldn't want to see North Dakota State take on Louisville?
I'd love it.
I mean, I'm just saying, who wouldn't want this? Montana State against they play Arizona. I mean, either way, though, but you're looking at it's just something that's totally different.
Yeah, I don't know if it would ever be the amount of like 16 teams per like a 64 team, but I could see it maybe being experimented with 32 or something to kind of start, see how it goes, and then you know have certain slots where FCS teams can make it into the dance or whatever. I think there's a lot of potential there.
I mean, we're at what, 12 right now?
Yeah, we're going. Well, I think we may go to 14.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in 10 years, you could probably see it, you know, 24, 32.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see it where we're going to have like a 24, even 25, and make just the top 25 be the ones that make it into the dance. I could definitely see that as a possibility. I think that's going to come eventually. Give it a few more years. I think that's going to come.
Or what? Do 28 to number one, the two top one seeds get buys, and then.
I think the biggest thing though, guys, that you know, just by looking at it, I think the biggest thing though is that you get some of those, you know, those one off teams like James Madison, who was really, really good last year, you know, Liberty, who came off an undefeated season. It would give them a chance to say, you know what, I belong here. These big teams cannot run away from us now. And it would give them something to prove.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, especially like, and not even the big teams. Like, you see, I think you see even more of your low tier to medium tier D1 teams. Cause I guarantee, like, especially like Arkansas, right? We're low to mid tier right now. Like, we are not, after Colorado State, we are not going to go and pay North Dakota State or South Dakota State $1 million to come beat our ass. We're not going to do it. Sorry.
Nope.
I mean, you're not gonna have an Arizona go spend $750,000 to go get their ass beat by Henderson. I'm completely blanking on the team that won the D2 title.
Oh, Harding.
Harding. Like, you're not gonna see Arizona pay $250,000 to have Harding beat their ass. Like, this is not gonna happen.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really interesting concept. I think it's one that I don't know if it'll ever get fully explored. I think what we're going to see eventually, I think we'll see the top 25 be the playoffs eventually.
Well, I think it has to. I think it would have to be an even number. So I think you would either have to go 26 or 28.
Yeah, or just do 24 too. Just knock it down one ranking. And just do it that way.
I'm like, no, you're number 25. Sorry, bud. Yeah, you're SOL.
Number 25 is dead. We don't have a top 25 anymore.
We have a top 24.
Yeah. But no, we should probably look to wrap the show. I got to go be grill master for the day.
Did we miss any topics?
No, we hit the main ones. All that was left was shout out our sponsors, which for future shows, we will fit those in between topics. It's just we got off on some tangents today.
I'll take the blame this week.
Yeah, I mean we'll have sponsors fit in between topics in the future. Just once again drop the ball on it this week. Well, hey, we got a week break to recoup. Okay, we'll come back on the 9th stronger and better. Because we're going to come back stronger and better because we'll probably be drinking some Rogue Energy where you can get, with promo code Sparky3.
Get a little bit more focused.
A little bit more focused. Maybe even get the Rogue Chill, the new line, and get a little chilled out, relieve some anxiety, relieve some stress, get some hydration, stay hydrated. We got to stay hydrated when we're doing the show. And just have a great time, with the referral link down below, promo code Sparky3. And maybe we'll be rocking a jersey from Agent Inc.
I mean, yeah, you said you're a grill master, right?
Yeah, grill master. Today,
so, I mean, what a better dad look than go to Agent Inc. and pick up an ATFS.
Dad hat.
Your dad hat, yeah. Or a jersey.
They're literally called dad hats. Exactly. So go get a dad hat with a trash can on it, and you'll be in great shape. You can use the referral link down below.
You look great while you're cooking your steaks.
Bingo. With that said, we're going to wrap up the show. Boys, last thoughts on anything? Wrong song. That song. All right, boys, last thoughts on anything?
Nope.
Nothing?
Besides, I'm sorry.
Nope, nothing.
This is probably the show I've talked the most on in a long, long time, so...
Hey, that's fine.
Look, I apologize for the tangent, but...
Hey, tangents are fine. We love tangents. Hey,
At least I didn't go rogue like Ricky... See what I did
there? Shout out to Rogue Energy. Support the brand. We'd appreciate that. Like I said, we'll be on a break next week, and we'll be back on the 9th, and then episode 100 will be on the 16th, so it's going to be really exciting.
And then draft time, boys.
And then draft time. It's going to be great.
My big brain, when my big brain will come to fruition.
That's right. Mine too. It's going to be great. Can't wait. All right, boys, we're going to wrap the show. Hopefully you guys had a great time. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. And until next time, have a good one. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Bye.